Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Here is a special announcement. Today is Tuesday, and not, as is announced in today's Sunday Telegraph, Friday. And now, a repeat of last Thursday's performance of Monday Night is Music Night.
Thank you, Rebecca, for that. And here we are. I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson. And this week, well, it's that time of the year, the season of the winter solstice, though the exact moment of the solstice, the moment when the sun's progression through the heavens seems to stop for an instant. Solstice means sun standing still. It's actually tomorrow, the 21st, here in Cambridge, about 2:30 in the afternoon. But the days on either side of that date are a part of the season of the solstice. So this evening, under lamplight, I want to spend a little time attending to some aspects of this winter solstice. And you are invited to attend along with me. We'll have some deep stuff and a bit of fluffy stuff too, but I'll make that fluffy stuff as deep as I'll make the deep stuff fluffy. We've often, over recent months, started the show with Alec Guinness reading that passage from T.S. Eliot's Four Quartets, from which I took our title, Evening Under Lamplight. But this time, let's hear Alec Guinness read another passage from a little further into the poem in the East Coker section, which will introduce us to the solstice theme. The solstice, after all, is the darkest time of the year, the time of the longest nights and the shortest daylight. And we all go into this darkness. It's something that binds everyone, at least everyone here in the Northern Hemisphere, binds us all together. We all experience the darkest time of the year. So as Eliot says, oh, dark, 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 they all go into the dark. This may sound dreadful, something we want to avoid, all this darkness, but wait, wait. See what's there. Be assured that people have gone before us and sent back encouraging reports. And we ourselves have gone through this seasonal change every year of our lives, and here we still are. And so, attend to Alec Guinness. Let the phrases and the images move past you, through you. Catch what you can, and I'll meet you on the other side of the reading.
Oh, dark, 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 they all go into the dark, the vacant interstellar spaces, the vacant into the vacant, the captains, merchant bankers, eminent men of letters, the generous patrons of art, the statesmen and the rulers, distinguished civil servants, chairmen of many committees, industrial lords and petty contractors, all go into the dark. And dark the sun and moon, and the almanac de Gotha, and the stock exchange gazette, the directory of directors, and cold the sense and lost the motive of action. And we all go with them into the silent funeral, nobody's funeral, for there is no one to bury. I said to my soul, be still, and let the dark come upon you, which shall be the darkness of God. As in a theatre, the lights are extinguished for the scene to be changed with a hollow rumble of wings, with a movement of darkness on darkness, and we know that the hills and the trees, the distant panorama, and the bold, imposing facade are all being rolled away, or as when an underground train in the tube stops too long between stations, and the conversation rises and slowly fades into silence, and you see behind every face the mental emptiness deepen, leaving only the growing terror of nothing to think about, or when, under ether, the mind is conscious, but conscious of nothing, I said to my soul, be still, and wait without hope, for hope would be hope for the wrong thing. Wait without love, for love would be love of the wrong thing. There is yet faith, but the faith and the love and the hope are all in the waiting. Wait without thought, for you are not ready for thought. So the darkness shall be the light, and the stillness the dancing.
Isn't that a great voice? Alec Guinness, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you recognize that. And that reminds me of an omission here in the studio. It's not Obi-Wan, but AB-Wan. There's Andrew AB joining me in the studio, giving me support here. And there we are. All of us going into the dark. What are we doing here? We're in the dark, the vacant interstellar spaces. We've now moved fully into the world of poetry, a world where there are meanings behind meanings. It's not just darkness in the sense of shorter daylight hours, but some kind of inner darkness, a kind of inertness, where we have, as Eliot says, we have lost the motive of action. You know that feeling. It's not just a tired lassitude where you can't be bothered to get up and do anything. It's a deeper darkness where you just don't see the point of doing anything. And, Eliot says, we all go with them into this darkness, into the silent funeral. So now darkness is a kind of death ceremony. Only, as the poem says, it's nobody's funeral, for there's no one to bury. The burial is a metaphor, of course, the death of our outer busy self, our daylight self, and we now are invited to experience beingness without those distractions of the daylight. We are advised just to be still and submit to this darkness. I said to my soul, be still and let the dark come upon you. That is a darkness that contains at its core some kind of sacred presence. I suppose at this point we we should play Silent Night, Holy Night. But we won't. Not right now, anyway. And then Eliot gives us a few images that he hopes, without too much hope of success, he hopes will get us a sense of this darkness. It's like being in a theatre, he says, where at the end of a scene, the lights go out while the backdrops of the previous scene are replaced by the backdrops for the next scene. We can hear the flats, the backdrops, sliding back or lifted up, and the next flats being moved into place, a movement of darkness on darkness. We know that somehow everything we had seen a minute ago is no longer there, but we can't see this change. It's a different kind of knowing, this darkness knowing. Maybe it's like this. I'm here in the darkness, allowing the theater of my day-to-day life to grow dark, letting go of all those worries about whether I should have written what I did to her last night and how she's going to respond to what I wrote, or letting go of those plans and anxieties about the future. Let's see, if I put off shopping till Thursday, will the traffic be better then? Will those good deals on Christmas treats still be on the shelves if I wait till Thursday? Or should I go this afternoon instead? See, I drop all these thoughts, and it's dark without them. But wait, I think I can feel something shifting within me as I let go of these thoughts, though I can't analyze this shift or even think about it. It's on a different level of my being altogether. And then another image. taking us deeper into this frightening dark stillness, an image of being on the underground, and the train stops too long between stations. You may have experienced such a situation. The train's been speeding along to the next station, and suddenly it slows down and halts for no reason that you can gather. There's nothing going on except this group of passengers together in the carriage. The conversation rises, Elliot says, but then the conversation slowly fades into silence. It feels too awkward to chat when there are all these people around who can hear you now that the train's not making noise. But then what? If you can't talk, what do you do? Some people will hardly even shift from what they'd been doing before, engaged in a book, or more likely now, of course, wrapped in some virtual world on their phone, something T.S. Eliot could not have imagined in the 1940s. But whatever it is, most people cannot face this mental emptiness without their book or without their phone or without conversation, and they shrink back from the growing terror of nothing to think about. But if you can practice waiting in this dark emptiness, waiting for the lights to come up on the new scene on the stage or for the train to start moving on to your station, then you're in good shape. If you can be still without hope or anything, just being there, not judging, accepting the moment for what it is, confusion, frustration, itching, sneezing, whatever, and here's the bluff, if we can wait in stillness, then, as Eliot says, the darkness shall be the light and the stillness the dancing. Living in paradox, of course, the most exciting, life-affirming place to be. And just to rouse us from the heaviness of this T.S. Eliot business, and speaking of dancing in the darkness, here's an old Kinks song, Little Miss Queen of Darkness. Well, I met her accidentally in a little discotheque, and she acted oh so friendly to every fellow that she met, and her hair was hanging down like a bright and silken sheen. Little Miss Queen of Darkness, dancing night and day. And watch out for a very rare Mick Avery drum cadenza.
Well, I met her accidentally in a little discotheque, and she acted oh so friendly to every fella that she met. And her hair was hanging down like a bright and silken sheen. Little Miss Queen of Darkness, dancing night and day. Little Miss Queen of Darkness, dancing, dancing on. Although she looked so happy, there was sadness in her eyes. On her curly false eyelashes were not much of a disguise. And her bright and golden hair was not all that it might seem. Little Miss Queen of Darkness dances sadly on. Yes, Little Miss Queen of Darkness, dancing, dancing when you're kissing her goodnight. 'Cause
Little Miss Queen of Darkness is pretty sad. That's her darkness, in the darkness of that discotheque. But she keeps dancing, dancing on. And, well, let's stick with the Kinks. They seem to have so many songs that resonate with some of our themes. And we'll move on from the 1966 album Face to Face, where Little Miss Queen of Darkness appeared, over to a song called Artificial Light from the 1977 album Misfits, where we'll meet another Queen of Darkness, no longer in a discotheque, but now slow dancing in a disco, standing underneath the light show, illuminated by the artificial light. So it's darkness, but not quite darkness. The darkness is dispelled by the artificial light. So is it darkness? It's certainly not daylight. We're out of that world of bright, clear reality. And yet, the song proposes, it's this fake lighting that allows us to bring out the real reality. Superficial attributes no longer matter. I couldn't tell if she was black or white, he says. It didn't matter in the artificial light. There's something about this artificial light that is allied to the darkness. It's a different kind of dance from the daytime dance we all put on, showing off to others. Now, somehow, we put aside pretense. No more covering up. First time I saw her, she was easy to know. She had nothing to hide. She put it all out to show. She didn't cover up or try to conceal. I knew the way that she felt, 'cause her expression was real. She didn't cover up the inside. She showed it all on the outside, stark naked in the artificial light. Well, yes, on one level it's just a sordid nudie show, I suppose. But Ray Davies' perverse vision sees more deeply. It's only here, away from the daylight constraints, that we can open up with nothing to hide, putting it all out to show, not covering up or trying to conceal, and becoming stark naked in the artificial light, in the visible darkness. But then there's a very twisted, kinky line. Everybody got to learn to relax. To be yourself, you have to put on an act. How about that? To be yourself, you have to put on an act. A stage show of sorts in the artificial light. Can you see the truth in that? If I put on some kind of a front, hiding what I'm ashamed of about myself, then obviously I'm not being myself. But if I let go of that ordinary daytime act and go down into the darkness where there is no judgment, where there is nothing but the deep me, then when I start acting from this true self, no pretense, stark naked, whatever act I'm putting on then will not be a cover-up, but let's call it an expression. See the difference? We can either put on some kind of front to hide what we're ashamed of, unconsciously acting to protect ourselves, or we can deliberately put on a stage show, knowing we're just acting a part, and then throw ourselves into that act, knowing that it's not our real selves, so that we can continue to be our real selves and play the role, enjoying it and expressing ourselves through this playfulness. Makes sense? I know, it's pretty tough. Try it again. Makes sense? Everybody got to learn to relax. To be yourself, you have to put on an act. You thought the lyrics... You thought the lyrics were odd, perhaps, but wait till you hear the music. I don't know how to describe it. It's a kind of dizzy country beat, I suppose. It's not a disco beat, I don't think. Well, I don't know. You decide. Attend. The Kinks, Artificial Light.
I disbelieved it at first sight. I couldn't I knew the way she felt was her expression was real. She didn't cover up the inside, she showed it all on the outside. Stark naked in the artificial light. Everybody gotta learn to relax, be yourself, you gotta put on an act. Get together in the artificial light.
Artificial Light, a bonus song on the CD of the Kinks' 1977 album Misfits. And we're here too under Artificial Light, to be specific, under the two lamps in Studio A here at Cambridge 105 Radio. Suitable lighting for evening under lamplight. But wait, are we, metaphorically speaking, of course, are we here stark naked in the artificial light? Are we just putting on a show, a false front to hide who we truly are, or is this artificial studio light enabling us to express ourselves, to be ourselves? Do we then put on a show? A show like Evening Under Lamplight? You don't expect me to answer this, do you? I mean, how should I know? All I can hope for is somehow to feel the backdrops shifting as I enter the studio's artificial light. And you too, by the way, may be in artificial light as you listen along. So let me throw the question over to you. Are you covering up or stark naked, expressing yourself as you listen? And how would you do that? In any case, here I am, Robert Louis Abrahamson, putting on the stage show Evening Under Lamplight, the stage being Cambridge 105 Radio. And we're attending to themes connected to the winter solstice, darkness of various kinds. But then we move on to the growing light. Wait for it. But first this.
When the day comes to an end, he invites you to attend Evening Under Lamplight. It's Cambridge 105 Radio.
Thank you. Now, back to our tonight's theme of the winter solstice, the pivotal moment when the days of increasing darkness reach their peak and then begin reversing, the season when we sit in deep darkness, waiting for the shift, waiting for the coming of the light. Today has been the last day of Hanukkah, the celebration of the miraculous light sustained through the time of darkness. And it's, of course, the season not of Christmas, but of Advent, the time of waiting in the darkness for the advent of the renewing light. It always seems odd that the time when it starts getting lighter again is also the time when winter officially starts. So we add that to our compound of thematic elements. Winter, the cold, freezing, static, dark season, hibernation, resting, gestating, waiting for new birth. All these mythic patterns. And here to help us with some appropriate imagery is the winter meditation from my CD Journey Through the Seasons. Some people, I must tell you, have found it depressing because it faces up to the darkness and the death experiences associated with the season. But if we attend carefully, we will see that the darkness and death are necessary preludes to a hopeful renewal. We all have to face this sooner or later. Why not make it sooner? The meditation contains poetry by John Donne, Robert Frost, Emily Bronte, Rio Khan, Rumi, and Walt Whitman. The music is by Neil Henry, his early period. It takes a little over 8 minutes. Winter. Before spring, we first face that long-expected winter. The leaves have all fallen. The world is dark and cold. All is frozen. No light. No warmth. 'Tis the year's midnight, and it is the day's. The sun is spent, and now his flasks send forth light squibs, no constant rays. The world's whole sap is sunk. The general balm the hydroptic earth hath drunk, whither, as to the bed's feet, life is shrunk. Dead and interred. Colors have disappeared. All is merging to deep blue or blackness. The mystery of emptiness, of the unknown. The element is water, the feminine yin world of chaos, darkness, cold, wetness, confusion. The womb where new life waits, not yet born. The waters of pre-birth, touching us on all sides, but never solid, not allowing us to grasp any secure holds. We float as the waters move us, passive, submerged. The organs associated with this season are the kidneys, regulating the water in the body, storing our ancestral energy, holding what we have received from our parents until the time for these gifts to be born in our lives. This is a holding time, a time for storing up and waiting. Our only light is the magical feminine moon, casting uncertain shadows, pulling the waters that surround us here, controlling the tides, sweeping us out to sea, taking us we know not where. The negative emotion is fear. It's too dark to see. We have lost control. Only the fluid water and reflected moonlight, distorting everything. We understand nothing. We can make contact with nothing. No wonder we're afraid. Or a different kind of water. Snow, colorless and obliterating everything, threatening to smother all we know. Snow falling and night falling fast, oh fast, in a field I looked into going past. And the ground almost covered smooth in snow, but a few weeds and stubble showing last. The woods around it have it. It is theirs. All animals are smothered in their lairs. I am too absent-spirited to count. The loneliness includes me unawares. And lonely as it is, that loneliness will be more lonely ere it will be less. A blanker whiteness of benighted snow with no expression, nothing to express. They cannot scare me with their empty spaces between stars where no human race is. I have it in me so much nearer home to scare myself with my own desert places. If we open to this deep winter energy, fear can become transformed into its positive aspect of stillness, quiet acceptance, and openness. If we move at all, it is with that quiet gentleness we use when making our way across a furnished room in the dark. Sensitive, open, tentatively feeling our way, not rushing confidently through the room as we would in the light. We are listening, alert and still in a silent night, holy night, waiting for what will be revealed, mindful, attentive, not trying to comprehend, motionless in the midst of the emptiness. The night is darkening round me. The wild winds coldly blow. But a tyrant spell has bound me, and I cannot go. The giant trees are bending their bare boughs, weighed with snow. The storm is fast descending, and yet I cannot go. Clouds beyond clouds above me, wastes beyond wastes below. But nothing drear can move me. I will not, cannot go. That immobility, held fast by some tyrant spell, feels like all things conspire against us and keep us from moving on. But we do not give in to the despair. I will not, cannot go. I know it is the time for staying here, waiting in stillness and darkness for what will come next. The long winter night. The long winter night seems endless. When will it be day? No flame in the lamp or charcoal in the fireplace. Lying in bed, listening to the sound of the freezing rain. To an old man, dreams come easy. I let my thoughts drift. The room is empty, and both the sake and the oil are used up. The long winter night. This long night of our dying is necessary preparation. Inside this new love, die. Your way begins on the other side. We hold on, knowing that we do not know what comes next, only that something comes next. All goes onward and outward, and nothing collapses. And to die is different from what anyone supposed, and luckier. And then the growing anticipation. My heart beats faster and faster, and I cannot sleep. Tomorrow will be the first day of spring. Well, that was my winter meditation, packed full of images. Well, let's spend an extra minute with the little poem by the Japanese poet Ryokan that we heard in the meditation. It seems to transform the potentially frightening barrenness of the long winter night into a time of peaceful stillness, a kind of reworking of T.S. Eliot's line, "I said to my soul, be still and let the dark come upon you." Here's Ryokan's poem again. Picture him in his solitary hermitage, living a simple life of bare essentials, now in his wintry old age. the long winter night. The long winter night seems endless. When will it be day? No flame in the lamp or charcoal in the fireplace. Lying in bed, listening to the sound of the freezing rain. To an old man, dreams come easy. I let my thoughts drift. The room is empty, and both the sake and the oil are used up. The long winter night. That was the opening of Mendelssohn's Notturno from his incidental music for A Midsummer Night's Dream. Midwinter here, connecting across the calendar with midsummer. And Andrew says he used to play this on the French horn with his grandmother. So special memories tonight from Evening Under Lamplight. Well, next, here's a song that takes us, I'm afraid, into the pain of this darkness. A pain we can't minimize. Who but Leonard Cohen to speak to us from this place? This is the song You Want It Darker from his final album, recorded when he was in such pain he could hardly stand to make the recording, which had to be in his house. And he knew, and we found out later, that these were his final days before he surrendered to the big darkness. It's a song that leans very heavily on religious tradition. Leonard was on good terms with all religious traditions. This one seems to return him most notably to his Hebrew roots, perhaps most notably to the Book of Job. God the dealer, also the healer, who first makes us broken and lame, and the shame, at least in the eyes of the world, leading to greater glory. God apparently then wants it darker, and we are the ones who kill the flame and suffer in the darkness. We are the ones who are vilified, crucified in the human frame. Why? No, that doesn't seem to be the question here. Leonard's response, open to the present moment, which is a moment of darkness, his response is simply the word hineni, the Hebrew word for here I am, the biblical word of acknowledgement that I am in the present moment, listening, even in darkness, usually in darkness, to what is being spoken to me. It's what Abraham, Samuel, and others said when the Holy Voice called to them. And more seasonally, it's what Mary said to Gabriel, Ecce in Latin, behold in English. Hineni in Hebrew. So let's also try to say Hineni as we listen to Leonard, You Want It Darker.
Dealer. If thine is the glory, then mine must be the shame. You want it darker. We kill the flame. Magnified, sanctified be thy holy name. Vilified, crucified in the human frame. A million candles burning for the help that never came. You want it darker. I'm ready, my lord. There's a lover in the story, but the story's still the same. There's a lullaby for suffering and a paradox to blame. But it's written in the scriptures and it's not some idle claim. You want it darker. We kill the flame. Prisoners and the guards are taking aim. I struggled with some demons, they were middle class and tame. I didn't know I had permission to murder and to maim. You want it darker?
As the solar year pivots now, so we turn also and acknowledge the light growing out of our Hineni, here am I moment of presence in the darkness. Thus, as T.S. Eliot puts it, the darkness shall be the light. The darkness wasn't an entire extinction of the light, after all. There was always a little light deep inside of us, which perhaps we can get in touch with only in that deep darkness. And once we see that light, we strive to let it shine out, however it will. And so here are James Shorty, Viola James, and congregation, with an earthly, authentic rendering of this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine.
Oh,
I'm gonna let it shine.
There are all sorts of music on Evening Under Lamplight. Well, now, from a different tradition, here is the O Antiphon for the solstice. These great O Antiphons are chanted in the final days of Advent, calling for the release from darkness with a wide range of biblical imagery. And the antiphon for tomorrow, the day of the solstice itself, is appropriately O Oriens. Oriens meaning rising, specifically rising in the east, as in Oriental. That is the rising of the sun. Day spring, as it has been translated. A lovely image of the day springing up in joy out of the darkness. In the original Latin, the short antiphon goes, O Oriens, splendor lucis aeternae, et sol justitiae, veni et illumina sedente in tenebris, et umbra mortis, which in older English becomes, O day spring, brightness of light everlasting, and sun of righteousness, come and enlighten him that sitteth in darkness, and the shadow of death. And the more modern translation gives us, O morning star, splendor of eternal light, and the sun of righteousness, come and shine on those lost in darkness and in the shadow of death. And here is the choir of St. John's College, Cambridge, giving us the antiphon the way it should be heard. It's in Latin, and you now know the gist of what it's saying. Attend now to the way the performance of the words can take us out of the darkness up to a lighter place. Eternae et sol justitiae, veni et illumina sedentes in tenebris et umbra mortis. See, we're the only radio show in Cambridge where you get to hear spoken Latin. Okay, and finally, a chant from the Teze community, Within Our Darkest Night. Within our darkest night, you kindle the fire that never dies away, that never dies away. Let this chant bring us light in this season of winter solstice, a light that never dies away, our assurance as we sit in whatever darkness surrounds us now. Thank you for joining us on this Evening Under Lamplight, being staged at Cambridge 105 Radio, with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson, putting on the stage show, not putting on an act, and wishing you good night as we nurse the fire that's been kindled in our heart and never dies away. Catch me at lamplight at cambridge105.co.uk and the archives at momentsunderlamplight.co.uk. See you next time, early in the new year.